with a smile.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that knows that Pixar's Elemental is just a Last Airbender remake in disguise. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Lara, understudy Morris.
If you look inside your Playbill insert, you'll see that in tonight's performance, the role of Winner will be played by me.
Adam, master builder, Weiner.
I'm like a Lego brick you step on, sharp, annoying, and ready to ruin your day.
And Siobhan, hyperlexic nightmare, Dempsey.
I'm getting ready to put this game in the books.
Hello, everybody, and thanks for joining us today for the second elimination match in the Viridian Dynamics division here in Season 9. Keeping the scores as per usual, it's Scoremaster Dan. Hey there, Dan.
Hi there, Taylor. I just got my student reviews back for this past semester. I may have mentioned, a couple of my students mentioned they started listening to the show because they just can't get enough of me, of course. And my favorite comment came from that student who said, and I quote, "Turns out he can ask questions that aren't about regression coefficients."
It's what every teacher has always wanted to hear. Thank you, Dan. And also working the boards today, as always, it's Production Master Dave. Hi, Dave.
Bring her in nice and slow. I want to give them plenty of time to panic and soil their pants. Creep in. Let them gather their hammers in preparation for a mighty washload of fear-stained trousers. And just as they start the pre-treat, zap, sizzle, acid magnet.
Well, I can think of no better way to lead us into our first game of the day. It's a round of My Champion. This is the game where each one of our players has chosen a champion from somewhere out in the world of pop culture, but we choose the challenge those champions are about to undergo. She's a many-time contestant here to compete in a new season. Let's welcome percussionist and pitcher plant potterer, Lara Morris. Lara, who's your champion today?
Today, my champion is Temeraire from the series of novels by Naomi Novik.
Thank you, Lara. Also with us is Lego store owner and musical theater aficionado, Adam Weiner. Adam, who've you got?
My champion today is Harold Hill from Meredith Wilson's The Music Man.
And rounding out our lineup is Cat Lady Siobhan Dempsey. Siobhan, who is your champion today?
My champion is Alec Hardison from Leverage and occasional appearances in Leverage Redemption.
All right, all three champions are locked in. I am on judging duty today, so let's go ahead and spin that scenario wheel. Today's scenario, who is going to best choreograph and rehearse a musical number starring a group of sailors? Lara, why is the titular Temeraire going to best choreograph and rehearse a musical number starring a group of sailors?
Look, I think you might have an idea of where you think this is going to go and who the triumphant champion in this argument is going to be, but I would like to point out that Temeraire is a dragon who fights for the British side in the Napoleonic Wars. He was actually hatched on a naval vessel and is good friends, like boon companions, with a former naval captain. So all the weird ways that sailors know how to communicate with each other, all the kind of hazing and ways that you have to earn their trust, Temeraire already has that. Because he has to fight in wars, he has a great sense of military command and figuring out all the logistics issues and, you know, what is an elaborate dance number, a battle. It's really a very, very similar kind of task. And so I think Temeraire's just insane organizational skills and his way of communicating with sailors is going to carry the day. Also, because he is a dragon, he can fly overhead. And so you can get those good Bugsby Berkeley overhead shots of the choreographed numbers. So I think he's got this in the bag.
All right. A strong opening argument from Lara. Adam, why is Harold Hill of The Music Man going to best choreograph and rehearse a musical number starring a group of sailors?
Well, Harold Hill, if that is his real name, is a salesman who travels the country and in the story, the Music Man sells musical instruments and he uses musical numbers and choreography to sell those instruments. He is a man with knowledge and worldliness that can conform and adapt to whatever audience he is with. So if it's sailors, he will learn sea shanties. He will learn the instruments, the drum corps for marching, the specific what they need to create a great, great musical number. And you know what? He can also connect with the sailors. He has that charm, that audacity to work young and old, whether you have a lisp or not. He will change their lives, create a big number, and celebrate the community with aplomb and fun.
Thank you, Adam. All right, Siobhan, make the case for Alec Hardison from Leverage for being the best at choreographing and rehearsing a musical number starring a group of sailors.
Hardison is a planner. And what is choreography but a plan? And as a con artist, he can work with anybody because he works at tricking with everybody.
All right. Thank you, Siobhan. All three arguments are locked in. And while there are two con artists here in the mix, it's almost like some of their sort of conningness has in some ways kind of canceled each other out in my mind, in that neither of them feels like they're going to, have the most authentically good musical number, but really thinking about the ways in which they're just going to trick people into thinking that it's a good musical number. And truly was kind of surprised at how won over I was by Lara's argument about all the specific naval experience and the sort of the ideas of, making the actual military plans be something related to choreography. So against what the logic may have seemed before we started, I gotta go with Lara and Temeraire.
Yay!
Lara, you have won my champion, which means you get to take a crack at the half point. Answer this question correct and you'll have half a point to your name before we even start round one. Here is your half point question. What 2016 Coen Brothers film features a musical number starring a group of sailors?
Okay, so that's the No Dames number. And I think the name of the movie is Hail Caesar?
It is Hail Caesar. Half a point to Lara. You also get to go first in round one, a new kind of movie musical. There's no money in record sales anymore, so a number of popular musical acts are pivoting to film, specifically by merging their hit songs with iconic movie scores. We'll play a clip of a notable film soundtrack and a popular song back to back. You then give a before and after style answer combining the name of the movie and the song. For instance, if we played you this double clip, you'd know that answer was
Batman, I feel like a woman.
Batman, I feel like a woman. Da, 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 da. That would get you 10 points. If you need a hint, I can tell you the star of the movie and the artist behind the song, but then a correct answer is only worth 5. A final note, the order of the clips will always reflect the order that those come in the answer. Let's kick it off with a clip for Lara.
So the first part is definitely Beauty and the Beast, but I don't know the song, so I will take the hint.
Your hint is a movie starring Paige O'Hara and a song by The Rolling Stones.
Yeah, I don't know the song, so I'm going to pass.
That mashup answer is Beauty and the Beast of Burden, with Beast of Burden being that Rolling Stones track there. Next up to Siobhan.
I can almost get the first part, but it's escaping me. Can I have the hints?
This combines a song by the Jackson 5 and a movie starring Michael J. Fox.
Okay. I can tell you things about the song, people who've covered it, but I can't quite get all the way there. So I'm just going to have to pass.
Lara knows this one.
That's I Want You Back to the Future.
Yes, I Want You Back and Back to the Future. Next clip is for Adam.
Do you ever feel like a plastic bag drifting through the wind, wanting to start again?
Well, who could forget that famous scene of all those guys running on the beach in Chariots of Fire? And who could forget a pig singing that song and sing, right? I think she sings for fireworks. So it's Chariots of Firework.
There it is for 10. We are back to Lara.
It would be way easier to defend a village if you had a magnificent seven-nation army.
Fantastic, yes. Next to Siobhan.
Confidence is a preference for the habitual voyeur of what is known as...
Yeah, this time I was much, it's like the opposite, where I was closer to knowing what the score is, but I still need the hint.
This is a movie starring Sam Neill and a song by Blur.
So that's Jurassic Park, because that's where that's from. But I still can't give you the regular song.
That Blur song is Park Life, so that is Jurassic Park Life. Next up to Adam.
Well, the years start coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to the rules and I hit the ground running. Didn't make sense not to live for fun.
Well, wow, those are two things that should never go together. That would be all Star Wars. I like all Star Wars.
Excellent. All right, next clip, back to Lara.
Everyone's watching to see what you will do.
I'm going to want the hint for this.
It's a movie starring Jesse Eisenberg and a song by Loverboy.
Okay, so my guess for the Eisenberg movie would be Social Network, and I'm trying to connect that to a song, and I'm not getting there, so pass.
Adam?
Who can forget Chris Farley and Chippendales Working for the Weekend?
Give us a full answer, Adam, or you don't get kudos.
Oh, God. The Social Networking for the Weekend.
There it is. Next clip is for Siobhan.
Yeah, I don't have it either song. Can I have the hint, please?
It's a movie starring Arnold Schwarzenegger and a song by Vicky Sue Robinson.
Terminator something or other?
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. Pass.
Technically correct, but we can't accept that answer.
You had the first part, Lara.
This one's kind of mean phonetically, but it's Terminate Turn the Beat Around.
There it is. All right, next clip to Adam.
Out past the cornfields where the woods got heavy. Out in the back seat of my 60 Chevy.
Ooh, I think I know it. I'm going to take a swing for it. Is it The Dark Knight Moves?
The full 10. Big answer for Adam will take us into our first score break from Scoremaster Dan.
Well, this game has proved a little challenging for our players. Right now, Adam's lead with 30. He's perfect so far. Laura's got just one correct. She has 10 points and the half point, and Siobhan's still waiting to get on the board.
Still early in the game, plenty of game left to go. This next clip is for Laura.
Caroline loves and is raining all day. She loves to be one of the girls.
Pretty in Pink Panther.
Fast 10 points there. Next up to Siobhan.
I know that's an Olivia Rodrigo song, and that's like her big one, and it is escaping me at the moment. So can I have the hint for something I already half know?
It's a movie starring Robert De Niro and a song by, you guessed it, Olivia Rodrigo.
Taxi Driver's License?
Oh, there it is. She's on the board with 5.
See, people talk about the jinx, but we also have the reverse jinx. So the reverse jinx, it pays dividends sometimes.
Sometimes you have to let it sit.
And sometimes we're just completely flooded by jinxes and what's known as a jinx monsoon.
Oh.
So anyways, if you'd like to be the new host of the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, please go to host applications on our website.
All right. Before anyone can actually do that, let's go to Adam's next clip.
Love is a burning thing.
Well, there's some plural issues going on here, but I think it's the Lord of the Ring of Fire, the Rings of Fire, the Lord of the Rings of Fire.
We got around those plural issues by making sure that clip was from the first in the trilogy. So this is the Lord of the Rings : the Fellowship of the Ring of Fire.
Sneaky.
We do that sometimes. All right, one more clip for Lara.
Could I get the hint for this, please?
A movie starring Jason Schwartzman and a song by Boston.
Okay, so that Plinky Plink score does sound like some kind of Wes Anderson thing. And so I just need to, in 15 seconds, pick one and try to find out how that fuses to a song I kind of recognize.
I mean, I know you can't see our dear listeners, but this is a tableau of concentration we're seeing on Zoom.
Oh, what are the Wes Anderson movies that Jason Schwartzman is in?
She's turning red.
All of them. Ah, I give up. Pass.
She looks like Johnny Carson about to tell us what's in the envelope. Yeah.
Adam knows this one.
That's Rush More Than a Feeling.
Correct. Next clip is for Siobhan.
I know the song this time. We Got the Beat by the Go-Go's, which I know because they made a musical. So We Got the Beat. I don't have an idea what the movie could be, so could you just please give me the hint?
This is a song by the Go-Go's and a movie starring Winona Ryder.
Oh, We Got the Beetlejuice.
Good for 5. Our last clip is for Adam.
Ooh, I have an idea, but do I want the hint or do I go through the whole thing?
Big swing, big swing.
Okay, I'm going to go for it.
He's going for it.
Going for it. Is this Vertigo Your Own Way?
Excellent. Another 10 for Adam. We'll close out round 1. Next up, the scores from Dan and on to round 2. Hey there, listeners. Taylor here to tell you about the USA Quiz Show Club. You can get all sorts of bonus content by heading right now to usaquizshow.com/club. If you subscribe at any level, you will get ad-free episodes that sometimes will drop early than they do on the main feed. You'll get access to our Discord channel for all the Through Methods podcasts, not just the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, plus access to upcoming live events. I just hosted a music trivia night over on Zoom last week. It was super, super fun, and keep your eyes open on your Patreon feed and the Discord for July. Don't forget, there's all sorts of past bonus episodes just waiting for subscribers at all levels. That's usaquizshow.com/club.
Going to round two, it's time for the Octo Chicken score break. The Octo Chicken. It'll solve the wing shortage if we can get out of that web and fix the venom issue. Right now, Adam is the lead with 40 points. Laura's got 20 points and the half points. Siobhan's trailing with 15, but that means she gets to go first in round two.
Well, Dan, I got a joke for you from my childhood. What do you get when you combine an octopus with a chicken?
I don't know, Dave. What do you get?
Drumsticks for everyone.
Oh.
Thanks, Dan. And now Siobhan gets to take a crack at the Threequalizer. Siobhan, I'm going to ask you a question that has three possible answers. You're going to have three guesses to match as many of those answers as you can, with 10 points to you for each answer you can match. Here is your Threequalizer question. What are the first three albums by Prince to make it to number one on the U.S. Billboard Top 200 Albums chart? Two of them are movie soundtracks.
Oh, this is not going to be good because I don't necessarily know all of those. Well, one of them is Purple Rain. Is Little Red Corvette one, or is that something else? I'm just gonna pass before I embarrass myself further.
Ten points for Purple Rain, Siobhan. The other two albums are his follow-up, Around the World in a Day, featuring the song Raspberry Beret, and his 1989 soundtrack to Tim Burton's Batman, featuring the incredible song Bat Dance that we just heard, one of the 10 greatest songs ever recorded. Hit me up on the Patreon Discord.
Taylor, no, I want to make sure, Taylor, you're being serious about that, because the Batman album is fantastic.
It's great. I love Bat Dance. One time I was in line for the Batman ride at Six Flags Great America, and they were playing Bat Dance just as I was getting on the ride. And as soon as I got off, because it's a long song, I got back in line so I could hear the rest of Bat Dance.
Oh, you couldn't pay me to go back in that ride. That was the first roller coaster I went to on Six Flags, and I said, why is the floor going away? Why are my feet in the air? This doesn't seem right at all.
Well, we are going to keep things princely in round two, entitled The Royal Them. When an actor plays the King or Queen of England, it's tough to think of them as anyone else. In this game, we'll describe a movie or TV show starring someone who has played the King or Queen of England, but replace their character name with the name of the real-life monarch they portrayed. You name the movie or show we're talking about, the actor whose character's name we've changed, and the name of the property in which they played the King or Queen of England. For example, if we said Queen Elizabeth I sends a young James Bond to Monte Carlo to take down Le Chiffre, you'd know that synopsis is from
Casino Royale.
The actor is
Judi Dench.
And the royal movie in which she played Queen Elizabeth I is
Shakespeare in Love.
10 points for each part of that answer with no hints. Let's kick it off with Siobhan. Queen Elizabeth I pursues an archaeologist to South America in search of treasure/knowledge.
I don't know. I'm going to take a guess that the synopsis is from Romancing the Stone. Oh, wait. Wait, is the actor Cate Blanchett? And I don't know what the royal movie is, but I figured out the synopsis is from Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull.
No points for still knowing after the fact that it was Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. You still want to take a guess at which movie Cate Blanchett played Queen Elizabeth I?
Maybe it's just called Elizabeth I.
Movie's just called Elizabeth, or its sequel, Elizabeth the Golden Age. Still 10 points for Cate Blanchett. We're over to Lara. Queen Elizabeth II confronts institutionalized sexism while rising through the ranks of the police force.
Okay, the actress is Helen Mirren. She was in Prime Suspect, which is the synopsis, and she played Queen Elizabeth II in The Queen.
Full 30 for Lara. Next up, over to Adam. Queen Elizabeth II takes over as the fifth Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher in as many years.
Okay, so the synopsis of this would be a Harry Potter film. Fifth Dark Arts teacher. I believe the fifth Harry Potter film is Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. Yes, and the actor who played the Dark Arts teacher is the incredible Imelda Staunton. And goodness, she played Queen Elizabeth II in what? did she do it on stage? I'm going to kick myself. Is it called The Audience?
The most recent person to take that role on The Crown over on Netflix. We are back to Siobhan. King Henry VIII comes home after years in Iraq, is branded a war hero, but is nonetheless suspected of planning a terrorist attack.
Okay, so I believe the synopsis is from Homeland, making the actor Damian Lewis. And I don't know what the royal thing is, so I'm going to guess the other Boleyn girl.
Lara?
That's Wolf Hall. He plays against Mark Rylance, who just looks sadder and sadder.
That was my second guess.
But still 20 points to Siobhan for the first two parts of that answer. Lara, next one is for you. King George VI gets into a love triangle with an old childhood acquaintance and her caddish new boyfriend.
Okay, this is one I was waiting for. So Bridget Jones's Diary is the synopsis movie with Colin Firth, and he played the king in The King's Speech.
Another 30 for Lara. Next to Adam. Told via a rock journalist's interviews and flashbacks, it's a look at the life of mysterious glam rocker King Henry VIII.
Okay, he certainly wasn't a glam rocker. I believe the synopsis is for the biopic Rocket Man? Oh, no! Ooh, no. So I'm wrong. So this is going to go downhill really fast. Oh. So the royal show with the Tudors. And it's not John Rhys-Davies, but something like that.
You do get 10 points for the Tudors. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers is the name of that actor who played Brian Slade in the movie Velvet Goldmine. We are back to Siobhan. Queen Elizabeth II encourages her allies in a Mennonite community to pack up and leave before the men return.
Oh, this is a very good movie. It was just nominated for an Oscar. The synopsis is from Women Talking. Claire Foy is the actor. And she was the original Queen Elizabeth on The Crown.
Full 30 for Siobhan. Women Talking won an Oscar, was more than nominated, picked up Best Adapted Screenplay this year. All right, Lara, next one is for you. King Henry V casts his father into a deep sleep, then sends a giant robot to destroy his brother and the New Mexico town he's been hanging out in.
Okay, so that sounds like the synopsis of Thor. So then that's Tom Hiddleston. And I'm going to guess that the royal thing is something I didn't see, but is it the Hollow Crown?
It is, playing Prince Hal in that extended BBC miniseries. Next to Adam, King Henry II develops a thirst for violence in the Ottoman provinces during World War I.
Okay, So I've never seen this, but is this the synopsis of Lawrence of Arabia? Okay, a big blind spot, I know. So the actor would be Peter O'Toole. And he played King Henry II in, I haven't seen this either. Is it Beckett? Oh.
One of two times he's played King Henry II in both Beckett and The Lion in Winter. Full 30 for Adam. Which will take us into our next score break from Scoremaster Dan.
We have a tight game at this point. Laura is in lead with 110 points and the half point. She is perfect so far in this round. Adam is close behind with 100, and Siobhan is right in there. She's got 85.
All right, Siobhan, let's keep that streak going. Here is your next Royal English Monarch mashup. Queen Anne investigates the death of an 11-year-old boy and how the ensuing grief, suspicion, and media attention affect the town.
Okay. The actor is Olivia Colman. The royal movie is The Favorite. And the television show is Broadchurch.
Another full 30. Next up to Lara. King George VI finally gives Pete Campbell the punch in the face he's deserved for years.
Okay, so that's Mad Men. Oh, God, who punches Pete? Is it John Hamm? Okay, George VI. Yeah, I don't know. Pass.
Adam?
It's Jared Harris, right?
Oh.
And where did Jared Harris play George VI, Adam? Do you know?
Oh, gosh, it was in... Was it in The Crown?
Another Crown answer in those early years of The Crown. Next up to Adam. Queen Victoria wages war against an alien race over and over and over again.
Okay, so is that the synopsis of Edge of Tomorrow? Right? Or Live, Die, Repeat. And so the heroine in that story is Emily Blunt. And she was played Queen Victoria? Ooh. I don't know. She doesn't seem like a Queen Victoria to me. I must be... I'm going to have to pass. I don't know this one.
Can I ask why she doesn't seem like a Queen Victoria to you?
I don't know. It wasn't Queen Victoria. She lived for like 60, 70 years. I always think of Queen Victoria toward the end, I guess.
Yeah, she doesn't look like an old Victoria, right?
Right.
She looks perhaps like a young Victoria?
I guess.
The name of that movie is The Young Victoria, in which Emily Blunt plays Queen Victoria. All right, last one for Siobhan. King Henry VIII tells some stories, sings some songs, and gets eaten by a shark.
I'm going to guess that the synopsis is from Jaws. So it's older than the ones that I would think of. I just forgot that one man's name who's just in the news for saying something stupid.
You're going to have to narrow that down.
That's, yeah, there's a lot of men fit that bill.
Yeah, I'm not going to repeat what he said, but I don't recall. Pass.
In this case, we're talking not about Richard Dreyfuss, who definitely was saying some dumb stuff in the news recently, but about Robert Shaw, who plays Captain Quint in Jaws. He also played Henry VIII in the Best Picture winning A Man for All Seasons. Next to Lara. Queen Elizabeth I gets banned from the U.S. Figure Skating Association thanks to the boneheaded actions of her husband and his dim-witted friend.
Okay, so that's Margot Robbie. And she played Tanya Harding in I, Tanya. And then the royal movie is, I think it's just called Mary, Queen of Scots.
It was, with Saoirse Ronan in the title role, but Margot Robbie as Elizabeth I. Next up to Adam. When King Edward Longshanks abruptly resigns from his high-ranking government job, he is promptly abducted and placed in a mysterious coastal village.
Edward Longshanks is abducted? Okay. Yeah, I mean, Longshanks certainly is. That is the bad guy from a movie, so I will take a swing and say that the movie is Braveheart. Okay. That actor's name who played the king, played Longshanks. It's not, it's, I want to say his name's like Angus something, but I don't know that's right. So I'll pass on his name.
You got that royal movie, Braveheart. Any thoughts on the synopsis property?
It is escaping me. I will pass.
Escaping him.
Lara?
So the television show is The Prisoner, and I cannot for the life of me remember that guy's name.
Patrick McGowan is his name, star of The Prisoner, yes. Well, that will do it for round two. Up next, another score break from Dan, and on to our final round. Before we get to the final round of play, it's time for the home version. Correctly guess the answer to Dan's pop culture riddle by the time our next episode comes out, and you can win the chance to name a score break right here on the show. Take it away, Dan.
When it comes to ancient legends, he is quite the aficionado. He'll search for Shangri-La, Iram, and even El Dorado. An outing on the big screen was successful on the whole, but treasure hunting's better when the player's in control.
Think you know the answer? Then head to usaquizshow.com/riddle to type in that answer and win yourself that prize. We'll post that answer along with some other things at our social media. We are on Instagram and Twitter at USA Quiz Show for both of those things. Thanks for the riddle, Dan. How about a score update?
Going to round three, it's time for the solar-powered oven score break. Solar-powered ovens! Sure, the sun causes the plastic to leach toxic chemicals into the food, but how big a deal is that, really? Right now, Lars in the lead with 150 points and the half point. Adam has 130. Siobhan is trailing with 125, but it is a tight game, and she'll need just three correct answers to pull into first.
Ooh, and anything can still happen here in the lightning round. Players get their choice of categories and are given 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. You'll earn 10 points for each correct answer you can provide. Today's categories are no man, one genre to rule them all, neither Bennett nor Blair awards, and the smaller bang theory. Now, these topics are a little bit mysterious from their names alone, so pick the thing you think you're going to do the best on. Or maybe you want to keep something that sounds easy away from one of your fellow players. Siobhan, in third place, you get to go first. Which of the four categories would you like? Once again, they are no man, one genre to rule them all, neither Bennett nor Blair awards, and the smaller bang theory.
I'm going to hope that one genre to rule them all is fantasy or science fiction and go with that.
You are thinking in just the right direction. One genre to rule them all is inspired by a line in a very popular fantasy movie franchise from the 2000s. So this is going to be all about fantasy movies from the 2000s. 90 seconds on the clock. Timer starts when I finish reading the first question. Siobhan, are you ready?
Sure. Let's go with ready.
That's the spirit.
This RPG had a film version in 2000 before 2023's Honor Among Thieves.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Pan's Labyrinth is set during this country's Civil War.
Pass.
This American Pie director takes on 2007's The Golden Compass.
Pass.
This chipmunk travels to New York with Giselle in Enchanted.
Pass.
This 2003 movie is in a tie for most Oscars won by a single film.
Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
This Tim Burton movie became a Broadway musical in 2013.
Pass.
Disney produced this many live-action Narnia movies between 2005 and 2010.
Three.
The Fairy Godmother performs this Bonnie Tyler hit in Shrek 2.
Holding Out for a Hero.
Professor Snape teaches this subject during Harry's first 5 years at Hogwarts.
Potions.
Chihiro gets a job at one of these for spirits in Spirited Away.
A bath.
The titular two towers in Middle-earth are named Orthanc and This.
Pass.
2003's The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen adapts a comic written by him.
Pass.
This ship has a curse in the title of the first Pirates of the Caribbean film.
The Black Pearl.
this Frasier star went uncredited for his voice work as Abe Sapien in the first Hellboy movie?
Kelsey Grammer.
David Hyde Pierce voicing Abe Sapien in the first Hellboy.
It was a 50% chance.
Exactly. All right. Nice job, Siobhan. Dan, let's hear the Siobhan report.
You know, Siobhan had the strategy down. If you don't know something, just pass as fast as you can. So we have several passes to go through. Pan's Labyrinth is set during the Spanish Civil War. The director of American Pie and The Golden Compass is Chris Weitz. The chipmunk who travels to New York with Giselle and Enchanted is Pip. The Tim Burton movie that became a Broadway musical is Big Fish. The second of the two towers is Barad-dûr. That's the evil one. And Alan Moore, or the original writer, he is credited on it now, is the writer of The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. See, he doesn't get royalties for any of it anymore, so he doesn't want his name attached to it, so you get all these weird comic books that say, by the original writer, which is totally useless information, but that's Alan Moore for you. Don't mess with him, he knows a snake god. Anyway, Siobhan got 7 correct answers, so she now has 195 points and the lead. Adam is up next, so I'll have to match that in order to get 7 correct answers in order to pull into first.
Dan, are you implying that Orthanc is the good tower and that Saruman the White is the hero of the Lord of the Rings trilogy?
I mean, Taylor, is there another way to read it?
We have to move on. Adam, 3 category choices left on the board for you. They are No Man, Neither Bennett Nor Blair Awards, and The Smaller Bang Theory.
Oh, man. Well, the fantasy one was taken. I'll choose No Man. Why not?
You got a wild guess as to where this is going?
Is it something about a woman?
In this case, we're talking about the idea that no man is an island. So this is all going to be about movies and TV shows with the word island or isle in their titles. 90 seconds on the clock. Adam, are you ready?
We'll see. Let's go.
The title of this Leonardo DiCaprio film is an anagram of Truth and Lies.
Shutter Island.
This director helmed the stop-motion animated Isle of Dogs.
Wes Anderson.
This 1977 ABC series had a Blumhouse horror prequel movie in 2020.
Pass.
2022's Fire Island is a modern-day queer adaptation of this Jane Austen text.
Jane Eyre.
Pride and Prejudice. British comedian Matthew Hoffman narrates the UK and US versions of this reality show.
Big Brother? No.
Love Island. If Angie Harmon is Rizzoli, then she is Isles.
Pass.
MILF Island is a fictional reality show within the world of this NBC sitcom.
30 Rock.
He plays the lead character Lincoln Six Echo in Michael Bay's The Island.
Ewan McGregor.
Marlon Brando played this island-dwelling doctor in a 1996 flop remake.
Dr. Moreau.
Journey to the Mysterious Island is technically an adaptation of this French author.
Jules Verne.
This SNL cast member receives top billing in Judd Apatow's The King of Staten Island.
Pete Davidson.
This Spinal Tap director teams up with Morgan Freeman for The Magic of Belle Isle.
Rob Reiner.
Mentioned in the film's title, a 2017 King Kong movie primarily takes place on this island.
Skull Island.
Donald Glover and Rihanna star in this 2019 musical crime thriller.
No idea.
That is Guava Island, the Amazon original. All right, nice work, Adam. All right, Dan, let's hear the Adam report.
We only have a couple passes to go over. Let's do those first. The 1977 ABC series, which had a Blumhouse horror prequel movie, is not The Love Boat, as you might think. It is indeed Fantasy Island. And if Angie Harmon is Rizzoli, Sasha Alexander is Isles. Guys, if you're coming on the show, you're going to study one thing.
Cagney and Lacey, I do.
Probably Sondheim. But if you're going to study two things...
Thin Man.
Then you should probably make it Rizzoli and Isles.
I don't know. I think Rizzoli and Isles might be third on that list. But that's just me.
Adam had 9 correct answers. Now it's 220 points and the lead. Laura's up next. Because of that half point, she'll need 7 correct answers in order to take the win.
All right, Laura. 2 choices left. They are Neither Bennett Nor Blair Awards and The Smaller Bang Theory.
I have a dilemma because both these categories scare me for different reasons. I worry that The Smaller Bang Theory is going to be all about young Sheldon. And I love musicals, but I'm bad at award show trivia. And I historically done bad at questions about musicals on this show. But I think I'm going to take Tony Bennett and Tony Blair for the Tony Award trivia.
Your sussing out of this category is spot on, Lara. This is all going to be about best musical Tony winners since the year 2000. So modern musicals that have won that award. 90 seconds on the clock. Lara, are you ready?
I hope so.
Fun Home is based on a graphic novel by this testy author.
Alison Bechdel.
Mel Brooks won Tonys for this musical after winning an Oscar for an earlier film version.
The Producers.
This raspy voice star played Edna Turnblad in the original Broadway cast of Hairspray.
Harvey Fierstein.
This 2004 Best Musical winning show disclaimed any connection with the Jim Henson Company.
Avenue Q.
This actor took guff for reprising his title role in the film version of Dear Evan Hansen.
Ben Platt.
This Monty Python member is credited for writing the music, book, and lyrics for Spamalot.
Eric Idle.
This 2019 musical retells the Greek myth of Orpheus and Eurydice.
Hadestown.
Jersey Boys chronicles this real-life musical group.
Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons.
Before Spring Awakening, Duncan Sheik received a Grammy nom for this 1996 debut single.
Pass.
This 2002 musical had its origins with an earlier British musical called Chrysanthemum.
Pass.
In The Heights' lead character is obliquely named after this branch of the military.
The Navy.
A musical loosely based on the life of DJ Dewey Phillips is named for this American city.
Pass.
After the elders leave Utah, most of the Book of Mormon takes place in this country.
South Africa?
Uganda. All right, Dan, let's hear the Lara report and our final scores.
Wow, Lara went on quite a tear there. Let's go through the passes first. Before Spring Awakening, Duncan Sheik received a Grammy nomination for the debut single Barely Breathing. The musical Thoroughly Modern Millie had its roots with an earlier British musical called Chrysanthemum. And a musical loosely based on the life of DJ Dewey Phillips is named for Memphis, Tennessee. So Memphis. Lara needed 7 correct answers. She had 10. That means our final scores are Siobhan with 195, Adam with 220, and our winner with 250 points and the half point, it's Lara.
Woo! All right, good job, everybody. Congratulations, woo! Lara.
Well done. Congratulations to Lara. Incredible game. Siobhan's slow start, huge rally at the end. Just really, really fun times from everybody. Please come back and play in future seasons. But before we go, Adam has something he would like to plug for our listeners that I think may interest them.
If you're interested in Lego and Lego bricks, there's a wonderful franchise called Bricks and Minifigs. There's over almost 100 stores across the country. I run the one in Kalamazoo. So if you are in the Michigan area, come and see us. It's a great store that sells new and used Lego products.
And listeners, you can also find today's winner, Lara, as the teapot emoji over on our Season 9 bracket. Well, that wraps it up for this week. Be sure to join us next time for the second elimination match in the Gizmonic Institute division. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan and Production Master Dave, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show.
Give me a second. The dog started barking. I want to, like, not, like, step on that.
It's very considerate of your dog's feelings.
No, I mean...
My important works!
No, I don't want to, like, mess up the audio with it.
No, I appreciate it.